Stubby, she says, you run out a minute, will you? You run over to the grocery and wait for me there a minute quick. I'll see to your package. He went when she said that. And swift as a flash, before I could think at all what she meant, Miss Holcomb laid Stubby's present down by her suitcase and wheeled around and whipped two packages out of her shopping bag and faced the line of Friendship Village folks drawn up there to the window, taking their turns. Everybody, she says loud enough so they all heard her, I've got more Christmas presents than I need. I'll auction off some of them, all handmade, to anybody that's short of presents. I'll show them to you. Come here and look at them and make a bid. They looked at her for a minute, perfectly blank, and she was beginning to undo one of them. And then, all of a sudden, I see her plan, what it was, and I walked right over beside of her. Don't you leave her undo 'em, I calls out. It's for Stubby Mosier, I says, that can't go, after all, to his mother in the Wooster Hospital that's going to die, account of his brother not sending him the money. She can't get well, we know that since last week. There's only 46 cents in Sodality Treasury. Let us buy Miss Holcomb's presents that she's made and is willing to auction off. Unsight unseen, let us buy 'em. I bid 50 cents. The line had kind of wavered and broke and was looking away from itself toward us. The man at the window had stopped weighing and had his head close up looking out. Everybody was hushed dumb for a minute. Then it kind of got to Ms. Wiswell, that's had so much trouble that things most always get to her easy, and she says out, Oh, land, is it? Why, I bid 75 then. 80, says I, reckless to egg her on. Then Libby Liberty kind of come too, and she bid 90, though everybody knew the most she has is egg money, and finally it, whatever it was, went to Ms. Wiswell for $1. Is it a present that would do for ladies? She says, when she made her final bid. I don't know, though, as that matters. $1. Well, then, Miss Holcomb up with another present, and Miss Merriman started that one, and though dazed a little, yet some folks daze so terribly easy if you go off an inch from their stamping ground, the rest of us, including Abigail Arnold, that hadn't ought to have bid at all, got that one up to another dollar, and it went to Miss Merriman for that. But the next package stuck at 50 cents, not from lack of willingness, I know, but from sheer lack of ways, and it was just going at that when I whispered to Miss Holcomb, What's in this one? Towel with crochet work set in each end and no initial, she says. Really? Says a voice behind me. And there was the young lady in blue with the ermine and the roses, and I see all of a sudden that she didn't look to be laughing at us at all. But her eyes were bright, and she was kind of flushed up. And it come to me that she would have bidded before, only she was sort of watching us, maybe because she thought we were quaint. But I didn't have time to bother with that thought much, not then. I'll give $2 for that, she says. Done, says Miss Holcomb, real auctioneering-like, and with her cheeks red and her hat on one ear and her hand going up and down. Now, this one, who'll bid on this one? Says she, putting up another. How much for this? How much? How much is the fare to where he's going? Says somebody else strange, and there was the youngish fellow speaking that was with her, with the roses. 7:10 round trip to Wooster, says Miss Holcomb instant. Why then, I bid 3:10 for whatever you have there, he says, laughing. It's a hand-embroidered dressing sack, she says melancholy. You don't never want that. Yes, yes, I do, he says, still laughing. Yes, I do. It's a straight bid. But Miss Holcomb, instead of flaming up, because now the whole money for Stubby's fare was raised, just stood there looking at that youngish man, mournful, all over her face. Oh, my land, says Miss Holcomb, her voice slipping. We've got it. We've got it all right here. But while she was a-saying it, a big, deep voice boomed out all over her and the rest that was exclaiming, Ticket to where? Says the private Santa Claus-looking man in the fur coat. Wooster, this state, says I, being Miss Holcomb, was almost speechless. Well, now, says the private Santa Claus, Don't we go pretty close to Wooster? Where's that map we wore out? Well, I know we go pretty close to Wooster. Why can't we take your master Stubby to Wooster in the car? We're going on tonight, if we ever get to that general delivery window. He ends in a growl. And that was the time the line made way. The line that never moves for no one. And the Santa Claus man went up and got his mail. And while he was a-doing it, I run out after Stubby, setting on a barrel in the grocery, happy with 3 cranberries they'd give him. And as I come back in the door with him, I see Ms. Holcomb just showing his rose to the young lady with the ermine and the roses. And then I see for sure by the young lady's eyes that she wasn't the way I thought she was, laughing at us. Why, her eyes were as soft and understanding as if she didn't have a cent to her name, and I don't know, but more so. "Oh, Father," I heard her say, "I'm glad we came in for the mail ourselves. What if we hadn't?" And I concluded I didn't mind that word quaint half as much as I thought I did. Every last one of the line went out of the post office to see Stubby off, and the man at the window, he came too. They had a big warm coat they put the little boy into, and we wrapped up his rose and put that in the car, so's it would get there sooner and save the postage, same time, and they tucked him away as snug as a bug in a rug, his little face just shining out for joy. "Oh, and you can buy your presents back now," says Libby Liberty to Miss Holcomb right in the middle of it. "No, sir," says Miss Holcomb proud. "A bargain is a bargain, and I made mine." And then she thought of something. "Oh," she says, leaning forward to the window of the car, "don't you want to sell your presents back again?" "No," they all told her together. "We made a straight bid, you know." "Then," says Miss Holcomb, "let's give Stubby the money to put in his pocket and take the one-way fare to his mother." And that was what they done. And the big car rolled off down Daphne Street with Stubby in it going like a king. And when we all got back in the post office, what do you suppose? There was the crocheted towel and the hand-embroidered dressing sack slipped back all safe into Ms. Holcomb's shopping bag. But she wouldn't take the other things back. She would not, no matter what Ms. Wiswell and Ms. Merriman said. "I can crochet a couple of things tomorrow like lightning," says Miss Holcomb. "You don't want me to be done out of my share in Stubby's Christmas, do you?" she asks him. And we all stood there, talking and laughing and going over it, and clean forgetting all about the United States mails, till the man at the window called out, 11 minutes and a quarter before the mail closes." We all started back to the window, but nobody could remember just exactly where anybody was standing before. And they all wanted everybody to go up first and step in ahead of them. And the line, instead of being a line with some of them ahead of others and all trying to hurry, was just a little group, with each giving everybody their turn, peaceful and good-willing. And all of a sudden, it was like Christmas had come up through all the work and the stitches and was right there in Friendship Village Post Office with us. "Goodness," says Miss Holcomb in my car, "I was wore to the bone getting ready my Christmas things, but now I'm real rested." "So am I," I says, and so was every one of us, I know, falling back into line there by the window, all rested and not feeling hurried nor nothing. Only human.